This is a HeadGum Original.
All right, we're back. Welcome to Buckets. It's been about 9 months, and you'll never guess who we have here. It's Billy Scafuri.
You're getting buckets.
There's 15 games left in the season.
Where did the time go? I feel like I got high and I just lost track of count, and now the season's almost over, man.
Known stoner, Amir Blumenfeld.
Our last episode was when? January?
I don't know. I think Harden was on the Nets at that point.
Oh my God, it's been 3 years. This sucks.
And yet the Warriors and the Lakers are still 9-10 in the play-in. It seems like every year that seems to be the case.
Not much has changed, I guess, historically speaking. We got the play-in feels like the second through fifth best teams in the NBA. It's like Phoenix, Lakers, Warriors.
Mavs.
Yeah, Mavericks. It's like, okay, you could have told me those were the top four at the beginning of the year. And I'd be like, oh, that makes more sense than those being in the play-in. But they've been hopped by all these newcomers. OKC, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
The Pelicans are up there.
OKC, I mean, just what the hell? They are winning.
They're
and
great.
Winning. That's it.
Yeah.
That is such a leap from being we are stockpiling firsts to being, what, 42-20 or whatever they are now?
Yeah, they haven't made the playoffs with this core. They missed they lost in the play-in last year. And then, this year they're a one seed.
That feels unprecedented to go from missing the playoffs to being a one seed. Is that Chet?
Chet helped. It was like a perfect, the sum of the pieces or bigger than the whole, whatever that phrase is.
Yes.
Where it's like everybody was 21 and became 22, and then you compounded adding Chet to that mix.
Yes.
And then they also got their rookies this year. So
yes,
it's just like exponential growth, fuel to the fire. One became four, became eight really quickly.
And vibes. That team. Have you seen the post-game interviews when Shea will get interviewed and he's flanked by all of his teammates who just hang on to
like
every
bark.
Word?
Yeah.
It's great.
And regardless of what he says, they go crazy.
Yeah. It's so they're like, they admire him. You could like see it on their face. They're like, what a cool guy.
Yeah. It really helps to have a team where everybody knows who like the top three mm-hmm. best players are.
Yes.
And they say like, Shea is number one.
Yes.
Jalen Williams is number two. Chet
yes.
is number three. Like they all know the pecking order.
Yes. It's like that may be, do you think that's an issue with the Lakers right now? Because it does kind of feel like 1A, 1B, and 1C. Because D'Lo now is seemingly your most consistent offensive threat. It's like,
right.
Is that the issue with the Lakers? What is there an issue with the Lakers or is this exactly how good they are?
That's a great question because they won a championship like 2 or 3 years ago with LeBron and AD, and then you can argue that the surrounding pieces are all pretty good. Like Reeves is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
D'Lo's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Torian Prince could hit threes. Like just surround LeBron with spacing and threes, and they'll be great.
And AD's missed what, 4 games maybe this year?
Health is not an issue, yeah.
Health is not an issue. Health is not an excuse.
No.
So then is this exactly how good they are?
I guess. I think what I've been telling people is like the Lakers are pretty good. They're like
mm-hmm.
5 or 6 games over 500.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's 8 teams that are very good.
Yeah.
So it's like the Lakers are pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's not like we can win in Phoenix. They're very good.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't really win in Oklahoma City or Minnesota or the Clippers. I guess we have been beating the Clippers. But like Sacramento, there are teams that are like, the West is so stacked that pretty good is not very good.
Yeah, I could not believe when I saw the stat that AD is 0-10 against Domantas Sabonis. That seemed hard to believe. You then threw out that there was like some kind of crappy games where AD and him played when he was in the Pelicans or whatever. But
yes, exactly. Like, he didn't realize that like 9 years ago when it was the Pelicans
right.
versus the Pacers, like he really should have won 1 or 2 of those games so
yes.
that he could just be like 2-8 against Sabonis and it wouldn't be a factor. The biggest issue, I mean, I guess half the issue is AD versus Sabonis, and Sabonis plays with a lot of passion.
Yeah.
It's the guards for Sacramento. The Lakers can't stay in front of the guards.
Yeah. I mean, De'Aaron Fox is so underrated.
He's a blur.
He's such a blur. He's such a problem.
Like, he can't beat you. If you have the fastest player in the NBA, you can't stay in front of the guy. That's
nope.
the whole point.
Nope. That's not how you can't do that. I know.
The Lakers can try to guard him with Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt is hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like everyone's kind of hurt. Like, you need that Gabe Vincent piece.
Gabe Vincent would help. Vando would help. Even Reddish would be helpful just to stay at not close, but you're at least long so you can, like, bother these guys. But, like, Monk and Fox in these games are just like, now you see me, now you don't. And I just have open mid-range jumpers.
And truth be told, the Lakers can be and probably will be a very big problem in the playoffs. It feels
they make the playoffs.
No, there's no chance they fall to 11, right?
No, they can make the play-in, but I don't know. We will be maybe slight favorites if we have home court advantage in the 9-10 game.
Mm-hmm.
But then that next game is playing at Phoenix or at Sacramento or at Dallas. We will not be favored in those games.
So we don't have to go deep into gambling, but one of the consistent things when you and I are gambling on games and the Phoenix Suns enter the group chat is you can't trust the Suns or the Suns are like a phony team or like empty calories. That was maybe 20 games ago. Do you still believe that? And if you do still believe that, why do you believe that?
I do. I don't believe in the Suns or the Mavericks for whatever reason. I just think they're very, like, offensively gifted and can get hot. There are games where they can score 120, 130, 140,
mm-hmm.
led by Durant, led by Luka. Mm-hmm. But, like, I wouldn't pick them in a seven-game, best-of-seven series against any of, like, the top four. The Clippers, the Wolves, the Thunder, the Nuggets for sure not. I would have
But what is it? What's higher. Different? Like, because are the Thunder, like, juggernauts on defense? Are the Clippers juggernauts on defense? Like the Nuggets, are they, like, what about it is it, they all seem like offensively led teams. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, they do, but then they have young, exciting talent, and the Suns are, like, you know, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and a bunch of pieces around Devin Booker.
Yeah,
no, pretty solid.
Yeah, for sure,
pretty solid.
Grayson Allen,
fifth or sixth best team for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the playoffs you do play 1 through 5 if mm-hmm. you're the sixth seed. So you're just not favored in any series, let alone three of them in a row to get to the finals. And then against any, like, Boston in the East, there's no way.
Last night was a good example. Didn't they just wax the Suns, the Celtics?
Yeah, yeah.
The Celtics are, like, the best team in the NBA.
It seems like the Nuggets are number one.
Yeah.
They beat the Celtics. The Celtics are slightly below them, but only slightly.
They
lost both games pretty close. And then there's everybody else.
You like the bet of the Nuggets winning the NBA championship this year. And I think the Celtics are much better than the Nuggets.
Interesting. But I think the Celtics lost both times they played against Denver.
And yet, it doesn't scare me. Like, when I just think about, like, this series, something tells me. I mean, like, Porzingis feels like a good matchup against Jokic.
I mean, there is not a good matchup against Jokic, but I guess that's the best possible, maybe.
Best of the worst. Right.
Yeah. Right. There's still nobody that can stop him. Just like the Kings guards are the fastest players in the NBA, can't stay in front of him. Jokic is just the heaviest person in the NBA.
Yes.
So, like, when he gets the ball at the top of the key, and he's like, I'm going to get to the basket. Scoots and squirms and, like, he's slimy and heavy, and you're just, like, sliding off him all the way to the rim.
That's a good call that rarely gets, like, discussed. Is he slimy and wet, and do players, because he has a wet vibe.
He's very, like, amorphous, where it's just like,
yes,
like, you can't
mercurial
because he's, like,
right, shapeless, he's boneless.
I can't grab any part of him, and now he's under the rim. And when he gets to the rim, he's unguardable because he releases the ball behind his head and 3 feet above it.
It's a weird team. I guess they are good at defense or something because they do consistently win. I just, when I watch them, I'm just, like, never convinced. Like, I always feel like Jamal Murray is the only way that they're going to win an NBA championship. No Jamal Murray, no championship. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right. And, I mean, maybe, but at the same time, they have Jamal Murray, so that's good for them.
Yeah, so that's why they win the championship.
It seems to me that the Nuggets are inevitable. Like, we're going to look back and, like, of course they won 2, 3, 4 championships in a row. They had the best player in the NBA, and they surrounded him with the best supporting cast in the NBA. You can't leave them one-on-one, and you can't double-team them. It's really that simple.
So I'm going to sound like a homer right now, but
yeah,
there is a chance that the Knicks match up well against the Nuggets. The Knicks defense is suddenly, like, that team feels like a team that's going to really be a headache in the playoffs. They're good right now. OG's back. Hopefully we get Randall back. Hopefully we get Mitch back. But, like, their defense seems, like, really annoying to play against.
I agree. The Knicks are very good defensively. But I, like, don't think they have the elite wing / big man star power that is required. Like, they got a great Brunson.
Dante DiVincenzo.
He's kind of short. Yeah, they got DiVincenzo. He's pretty solid. OG is pretty solid. They have a pretty solid team.
Right.
They don't have Jokic. I think they're the Jokic away.
Everyone. Really the whole league. The whole league is the Jokic away.
Correct. That's what I. That's why I think the Nuggets are going to win the championship. That's why I want to bet on them. Because they're still like 3.5 to 1.
Yeah. Do you think that the Knicks have a better shot of making the Eastern Conference Finals than the Bucks?
Yeah. Much like my skepticism with the Suns and the Mavericks in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
I'm equally skeptical about the Milwaukee Bucks.
You asked me on a text chain, what's wrong with Dame? Do you have an answer to that question?
He said he was in a funk mentally and physically. He said he was dealing with a lot of stuff off the court. And it kind of shows. He's not really playing with the same energy, and he's not scoring as much as he did last year.
And to your point about Oklahoma City Thunder, who knows who the number one is on the team? It seems like they know that Giannis is the number one, but like Dame still needs to get his flowers. Does that make sense?
It's a very unnatural fit.
Yeah. There's never been a team that has had two players average over 30 points a game, has there?
Oh, that's a good question. Not over 30.
A lot, right?
There's only like 5 or 6 people in the NBA that average 30.
Right. Maybe 25?
Like 25, yeah.
Right.
Like
that's a good
Katie
question.
And Booker, or what are they averaging right now?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question for someone who's listening to Buckets right now, who has a little bit of time to Google, and then please tweet at us because I'd be curious because that's like when they signed him, I took the Bucks under in our over under draft simply because it's like that seems like a weird fit. Like those are two so offensively gifted players. One ball. It's always one ball, you know, and. It seems like it's coming to light. They've lost 24 games. They like squeaked past the Sixers last night.
Bad vibes. OKC has good vibes. Milwaukee, bad vibes.
I believe you bet on the Sixers to potentially win it all while Joel Embiid was healthy. Am I wrong in saying that?
That's correct. They were like 18 to 1 or something like that. I'm like, oh, if Embiid is the best player in the NBA, which he was playing like before.
We forgot. Man, have we forgotten how dominant he was? Like, he was averaging at least 35, right? Like, he was having like 40 and 20 games, like, casually.
He had like 73 against.
No. Did he have 73 this year?
He had a 73 point game, I believe.
I had no recollection of that.
And it was like easy. It was like, because he's the biggest player. I think he's bigger than Jokic.
His mid-range is so airtight.
It's
crazy. It's
like
crazy.
Chris Paul at the free throw line. In addition to being 7'2", 400 pounds or whatever the fuck he is, like this monster who also has like really good touch at the mid-range.
Do they have any chance, say he comes back with 7 games to go or something, he gets like a little bit of runway in the regular season. Do you think that they can get hot and just push?
I think they can because he's the best player and he's like kind of unguardable when he's healthy and happy and playing well. But like I don't know if he's going to be that version of himself.
Is Tyrese Maxey the least talked about great player in the NBA? Because I watched him last night against the Bucks. I was like, this dude is unstoppable. And it's not like Jeremy Lin, like he's been doing this for a while now.
Yeah, he was very hot with Embiid and now he's hot without Embiid. I don't know how consistent he is. It reminds me of like kind of like a better version of Quickly. Like when Quickly's like looking great, you're like, this guy's unstoppable.
Yeah.
But can he do it all the time?
He has De'Aaron Fox's speed. We were talking about that blur energy. Like those might be 1 and 2.
With a great three-point shot too.
Yeah.
Fox doesn't have.
Yeah. Yeah, the Sixers, that's a tough thing, man. It seems like they're always so dominant. Everyone gets right on their train and then Embiid goes down.
You're like, oh, damn it. He should really just start playing in January. Like, if he can only play 5 months a year, why is it October through March? It should be, like, February through June.
That was like Shaq on the Celtics. Where he was like, coach, we all know what's going on right now.
It was a little bit Shaq on the Lakers, where he's like, I'm going to play my way into shape. You don't have to worry about me in November, December. It won't look that great. But by, like, June, like, I'm just going to be solid.
It was also like Shaq on the Cavs. It was also like Shaq on the...
Just pace yourself.
Second
Joel.
Season Shaq.
Yeah. You're burning the candle at both ends, man. Just take it. You don't have to score 73 in December.
What do you think the Lakers... How do you think this Lakers season ends if you were like to predict something today?
I think they would beat the
Warriors
in the first play-in.
Mm.
They have to win this weekend to sort of cement home court in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they probably lose in the the away play-in. Mm-hmm. But if they win that, then they play against
Denver. You play against the real teams.
Right, yeah. And then it's like Denver will beat them too. So there's not really a path to glory. They have to like get somehow find their way to the eighth seed, get the seventh seed in the play-in game, play against like the Thunder or the T-Wolves.
Yeah.
Who they oddly do match up well against. Like they've beat both of those
and
teams.
And no Cat? Is Cat done? Like torn meniscus. That sure feels like a...
Yeah,
you're not coming.
Not
you're
ideal.
You're not running back from that.
No,
that's a shame because that was a really awesome run. The Wolves.
Yeah, they played great. Yeah, and they still are pretty great just because of Edwards and Gobert and.
Man, did you want that dunk to go in over AD? I know you're a Lakers fan, but did you want Anthony Edwards' dunk to go in over AD?
I did not. Yeah.
Really?
I didn't. Yeah.
Oh come on! For the love of the clip.
The clip was oddly like kind of better with the missed dunk because it like fucking landed at half court.
True.
And also like people already have so much ammo against AD. I always feel bad for AD because like AD's a great player, but like the amount of shit talk versus positive talk on him on Twitter.
Why is
like,
that?
80-20.
Why is that?
It used to be because he got injured. Mm. Then he stopped getting injured and people were like, no, I still don't like him. Let me figure out why.
Yeah. Oh,
some games he's pretty passive. So fuck that guy.
That's right. Okay. It's so petty. It's so petty.
He can't be, let's see, Sabonis. All right.
Today, spin the wheel. Who is better than him today?
On his birthday, he had like 27 points, 25 rebounds, 7 steals, 5 assists. Everyone's like, yeah, whatever. He's not consistent. Mr. Glass, whatever.
God damn. Tough life.
It's hard out there for a 31-year-old half-billionaire on the Lakers.
Poor kid. Speaking of the Warriors previously, do you feel bad for Clay? What does your heart say about the Clay of it all right now?
I guess as a fan, and I understand that it is very frustrating, and I feel bad for him in like the sports sense.
Yeah,
but not in the global. Again, I don't feel that bad for a 33-year-old 4-time champion.
Yeah,
who found himself in the perfect situation throughout his career and is now starting to show signs of aging.
That's kind of the thing. That's where I'm at too. It's like there is a certain inevitability, you know, where it's just like there is a decline for every player. His decline was just so rapid, you know. Yeah. It was like so intense.
I mean, he had the two most devastating injuries a basketball player can have.
Back to back. Just back to back.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
Still pretty good sometimes is kind of a miracle.
And those injuries have affected his shot? That's kind of the one weird question about it all.
Yeah, I think it definitely has affected his defense. He used to be like a really great defender, people forget.
Yeah.
And then I guess it affects your energy. Like when you're 33, mm-hmm. you can't sprint around on defense as a 23-year-old and then feel great and solid and energized when you're shooting off the dribble like he used to.
Yeah. He just like misses like 6 feet from the rim now. And it's just like, ooh.
But like... people like Steph and LeBron have sort of like jaded our worldview about aging. Like
totally.
Clay is aging like we should.
Yes.
The real outliers are like LeBron, who's still averaging 25-7-7 as a 39-year-old.
That's we should hate them for ruining all of the normals. Like we can never have a normal life because these guys have set an unfair precedent.
Yeah, like Otto Porter just retired. That's what it should
happen. Right. He played 11 seasons, five teams.
Like that's a solid career.
That's how people age.
Right. My back hurts after playing tennis for an hour. That's what 41-year-olds are supposed to act like.
Cut it out, LeBron. Cut it out.
Yeah, he's making the rest of us look bad. And he's definitely making Klay Thompson look bad.
Speaking of bad and good, how are you feeling about your over-under team? What are the good picks and what are the bad picks?
Well, it used to be good, and now it's bad.
But you're not bad. You're in third place by only a few games.
Yeah. I had a good thing going when the Sixers were winning a lot, when Embiid was playing, and because I had the Sixers over, and then they started losing a lot of games, and that sort of hurt me.
Yeah,
I had a good thing going when the Knicks were playing well, and then they had a bunch of injuries, and that sort of slid me down.
Yep.
So now you and Adam are neck and neck ish to win, and I'm sort of in third place.
I'm fighting for second, and I'd love second because I believe second doesn't have to pay. Am I wrong in saying that?
That's huge.
Yeah, and that would be my third season in a row where I didn't have to pay. I would have gone second, first, second. And it's like, my Venmo is clean, y'all.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially with a win. That's it's funding future losing seasons.
Absolutely. And then I won the points league that I assume we'll do for the playoffs as well. Last year was just a money-making season for your boy.
And now the Knicks are playing well.
Yeah. That's actually bad for me.
Yeah. Right, you have the Knicks under.
I did the
emotional. You have two very Jekyll and Hyde teams with the Clippers, who are either on a 15-game winning streak or lost 9 of 10. That's been going back and forth all season.
Yeah. I was really on the fence about when it was – I was at a point where it was either pick the Clippers over – this is obviously pre-Harden – or the Lakers under. And I was like, why be a hater? Let's just root for something. And I took the Clippers over. And for the first 20 games of the season, I was like, this is bad. This is actually a bad pick. And then they Harden and they lost 5 games. And I was like, oh, this is worse. But then they went ballistic. Now they're kind of a 500 team. Am I wrong in saying that?
The season is too long.
There's the answer.
These teams are changing identities every month and a half. What are we spinning our wheels about? What's going on in December and January? It doesn't matter.
Have we forgotten that Russ is hurt? Has that actually played a secret, a bigger role in their losing than we're giving it credit for?
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot that.
There you go.
Is that true? Is he still not out? He's not out there.
He's not playing basketball here.
Yeah, interesting. They slide in Bones Highland and looks like the same Clippers to me.
They're losing.
Yeah.
But they're losing.
Yeah. it's Kawhi and Paul George really.
Yeah.
More so than if Harden and Russ are out there.
Yeah. Kawhi, is that a real thing? He left the stadium at halftime with back spasms. Stadium.
That was weird.
Lay
down in the locker room. That is heating pads.
Yeah, that extends normalcy, right? Yeah. Where is he going? Is he going to Outback Steakhouse? Where are you going? Where do you have to be right now?
Remember when he hurt his knee last year and he was out for the season and he was watching games from a luxury box?
Yes. He makes choices.
Would love to know what's going on there.
That one, I thought that it was he didn't want someone to jump into, if he was sitting behind the bench or something, someone to jump into his knee.
He doesn't strike me as a guy that's jumping off the bench when a teammate is dunking and holding players back.
No. We've seen enough of Kawhi to know he doesn't get excited for a team.
Especially when he's not in the game.
No, yeah.
And also kind of when he is.
When he's not in the game, he's not in the stadium, is what we've learned.
He's my back hurts.
I think I'm just gonna go for a car ride.
San Diego.
Exactly.
Was he tracking the game? You think he was watching?
That's
the game?
A good question. On his phone, you think he was hitting refresh?
Yes. I think that was the game that the Clippers were up by 20 against Minnesota, and then
they
lost by 20.
Yeah.
When did he find out that they lost by 20?
Today on this podcast.
He's listening to buckets.
Go figure.
Oh wow, we lost.
Damn. Where was I? Fuck. Where was I?
Oh, that's when I hurt my back.
Oh, that's when I got in the helicopter to San Diego.
The Clippers are another one of those teams that are in the mix. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't put them as a title contender. I wouldn't give them a chance against Denver.
Yeah. Yeah. The more you kind of start listing these teams out, the more it's Denver's done it. And they're nothing has changed. I mean, all the key pieces are there.
Yes. At the end of the day, you do need one of the best players. When the Lakers play Denver, it's oddly the same game over and over, even dating back to last year. It's pretty close. The Nuggets are tinkering around. Lakers are trying their hardest. It's within 2 to 4. And then it's all right, the last 5 minutes of the game, let's just give the ball to Jokic every single time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make 9 out of 10 shots, and we'll win by 12.
And
the Lakers, if they don't make literally every one of their shots down the stretch, which they don't.
Right.
Because
that's
we don't run an offense. We just give them all the rod.
And sometimes he gives it to D'Lo, and he's like, you figure it out.
That's right. Sometimes D'Lo makes 7 threes, and we beat the Bucks. And sometimes he goes 5 of 10, and it's sorry, the Nuggets didn't miss. You lose the game.
Yeah. Did they sweep you last year?
They swept us out of the playoffs, and we haven't beaten them this year.
Yeah, damn. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. There's just no answer. He looks at AD, and he's like, this is an exciting mismatch.
Yeah, I could just eat this guy alive.
That's Anthony Davis. What are you supposed to do?
There's no more trades to be had, right? There's no more acquisitions that can, just show up or something
Correct. There's no, buyout guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's our Spencer Dinwiddie was our buyout guy.
Got it. You think is a good fit. Fine.
I guess. He is a body.
He was a vibe in Brooklyn for Him and LeVert, do you remember when him and LeVert, like 4 years ago, were both like just like putting up big numbers on the board in Brooklyn? That was a fun Brooklyn team.
Yeah. They used to be awesome. D'Lo was also pretty awesome in Brooklyn. But pretty awesome is not Denver Nuggets.
No. And Brooklyn's really good at getting, or at least in the past few years, of making like, this is going to seem harsh, but like B minus or B players, like making them really good. But when they would get the superstar, it was like, no.
It's hard to have the superstar and the really good supporting cast.
Yeah. And when they had just the supporting cast and no superstar, people rooted for them. Then they got the three superstars and they were like, we don't like you anymore. And they all left. And then they brought in Ben Simmons, who is still in the NBA.
Yeah.
Still making what, $45 million a season?
He was very good. He was very good as a 21-year-old.
Do you think there's a chance he retires?
Yeah, if his back doesn't get better. It seems like he has some back issue, which is very... It's a big part of your body. It's
almost your whole body.
Kind of a non-specific part of your body.
Yeah.
It's not like an elbow where they got a surgery and they can figure it out.
Yep.
It's not like a knee where Lonzo can rehab it and see what happens. It's like the back.
Yeah.
That's the spine and the ribs and the muscles. There's just too much going on there.
Anyone I've ever met who's had back surgery has told me, never get back surgery.
Yeah, there's something scary and dangerous about it.
There's an inevitability that more to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're him, and let's say, what does he have, like $90 million still left owed to him by the Brooklyn Nets or something like that? You have to try and see that through, right? Like, you have to go to practice with a cell phone in your pocket.
Oh,
you
just got it. Yeah. And retire. Invest wisely and have fun for the rest of your life. As long as, like, you know, your back doesn't hurt so much that you can't go surfing or something.
Such a strange career. That man
had. He's a three-time All-Star. People completely forget about that.
Yeah. And then where did it start to change? Brooklyn? His first, was it Philly? I guess it had to be like towards the tail end of Philly.
Yeah, it was that playoff moment where he
didn't
instead
shoot.
Of like laid it up or dunked it, he would pass the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't want to get fouled. He was like shooting 30% from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, I'm never going to shoot. I'm never going to go to the rim because then I might get fouled and then I have to shoot.
Yep.
I'm just out on that whole part of the game.
Philly is so good at bullying people. Their fans will bully you out of existence.
Yeah. Markel Fultz gone.
It's what a hostile environment.
Nick Foles won a Super Bowl and then he was bullied out.
I mean, yeah, really. Jason Kelce even just said when he retired, he said something to the effect of like, this is the type of town where if you don't give it 100%, the fans are going to kill you. But if you do, you are going to be a god forever. And shout out Jason Kelce because he's a god forever.
That's right. That's why I would never last in Philadelphia. I don't want to give 100%.
You would hate Long Island. You would also hate Long Island.
What are there like fans that are the opposite of that? They're like, you're not playing well, but we love you anyway, and we're going to encourage you.
St. Louis Cardinals, I think.
Interesting.
I think the St. Louis Cardinals fans are, to the Cardinals at least, one of the most beloved. Just like, we're just so proud of you. But everyone else is like, fuck these guys.
Yeah. I guess I can only hack it as a St. Louis Cardinal.
Yeah. Speaking of which, baseball. Do you know baseball is like a few days away?
No.
Do you care?
Uh-uh.
Okay, there we have it.
Yeah.
Don't expect a baseball podcast from us anytime soon.
I know the Dodgers are supposed to be good.
Yeah, are you going to watch the Soul Series? It's at 3 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
My alarm is set for sure. So they're playing preseason games in Korea?
Yeah, the first two games. No, not preseason. The first two games of their season are in Seoul, Korea.
Wow.
It seems like a hard way to start the year, but okay.
The Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they playing?
I don't know. Maybe the Padres? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're playing the Daewoo Dragons. They're actually playing a Korean team. They're counting as regular season games. I can't take the sports seriously.
No, and don't. And don't. It's 162 games and then 40 more in the playoffs. Don't.
Well, you asked me about the Lakers.
Yeah.
What is your expectations, postseason expectations for the Knickerbockers?
I think it's going to be really hard for teams to beat them four times. I really, truly do. I mean, OG was such a good pickup. He was such a good pickup. Our bench...
You guys, Knicks fans were a little skeptical at first.
Well, yeah, because we didn't see him, you know. But if there's one thing Knicks fans love, it's defense. And that guy really can guard the best player. I am a little concerned, and this is beyond this season, that he's going to command like $40 plus million a season after this year.
He's like a... he's the prototypical NBA player, 3 and D.
And he's like right in that moment in his contract where he like has like enough checks, like he checked off enough boxes where they're like, okay, this is what you should be owed next year. And that would be like 15 more million dollars a season over like what Brunson's getting, what Randall's getting, you know, and we have a lot of smart contracts on our team right now. So that's a little nerve-wracking, but if Randall can get healthy, we have a real shot to disrupt some shit.
Right, and that's make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or
I
even
think so.
Beat the Celtics.
Oh, that's going to be a dogfight. The Celtics, like Tatum is really hard to root for, huh? I mean, you're a Lakers fan, so obviously Celtics are hard to root for, but like...
Well, he's actually a Lakers fan too, so I can root for him.
Oh, really? Is he a Lakers fan or a Kobe fan?
Kobe fan, yeah.
Okay, got it. And that's enough. He is so good. He's so good, but he kind of has that Devin Booker thing to me where I'm like, why don't I like you? Like, why don't I just like, I generally can root for a guy. Yeah. Even if I don't like him. But like something about him like strikes me just a little off on the court, I'll say.
Interesting. Yeah.
Not you.
There's not like a lot of pizzazz and personality. Mm-hmm. There's no like Ant Edwards fun in him.
But he will push you in the back. I think that's like my bigger issue. Like if he doesn't get his way, like kind of like a Devin Booker, he'll just like shove you or grab your arm and then say, I didn't grab your arm. Maybe I'm wrong. But like watching him last night, I was like, you're so deadly. Good God. You're so
He's
deadly.
Lethal. And he's like 6'9", 6'10", and can hit step backs.
Oh, and just gets to the cup so easily. And they have the secret sauce. They have Drew Holiday. They have Drew
the fucking
Holiday.
Bucks.
God
the Bucks really
damn.
Fucked up.
They fucked up. Heavy.
They just handed Drew Holiday to the Celtics.
The Celtics had such a great offseason. It's insane. Yes. Like getting Porzingis and him.
And Drew Holiday.
Got rid of Robert Williams, who didn't play a game this season. You know, like they are. Speaking of the Celtics, Joe Mazzulla... jumping out onto the court. Was there time left?
He called a timeout, and that was a Royce O'Neal practice shot.
Got it. I didn't know they called a timeout, because I was like, how is he not suspended for the season? Like, what am I looking at?
You know, like you're not supposed to let the other guy see the ball go in the basket. So, like, during a timeout, you either, like, block, pretend, like, to, like, foul him, or, like, literally goaltend.
Yeah.
So Royce O'Neal was doing that, and they have a rule, like, don't let a guy shoot next to your bench. Mm-hmm. And no player was going to defend him, so Joe Mazz is like, I'll take it upon myself.
Can he do that?
I think he can during a timeout.
He won't get fined, you don't think?
No, because it was a practice shot. It was like teams were already on the way to the bench, and then like this is just like Royce O'Neal taking a practice shot.
That sets a hilarious precedent. If every coach now knows that after a timeout, they could just run out there and start defending the ball, like that sets up a hilarious precedent.
I think they know but don't care enough. It's like, yeah, take a practice shot.
He was like full extension, arm all the way out, like foot planted and jumped. Like he wanted that block.
Is there a rule against having a practice court? Like when a guy is on the bench and he's coming in cold and it's like, let me get a quick practice shot. Let me touch the ball. Like, near the Lakers locker room.
In the tunnel?
Can they have a practice court where like players are just constantly shooting? Because they have halftime to warm up. But like other than that, you just have to sort of come in cold.
I worry. I'm talking to a person who loves technology right now.
Yep.
And I worry that these VR masks might be the answer to that question.
So imagine LeBron on the bench.
Goes to the tunnel. I think you got to go to the tunnel. It'd be too embarrassing. Yeah. It's a little cringy to actually see it.
You're holding a green or one of those 3D printed basketballs.
Yeah, those like soundless, when you dribble, it makes not a noise.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
And you start taking practice shots. No basket.
No.
But
data.
VR.
Yeah, data tells you whether the shot went in or not.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I want one of those.
Think you're going to get it? You think you'll get that VR headset? The Apple?
I haven't seen much about it.
What?
Yeah, like it came out and it was the biggest thing.
Right.
Like in the last week or two, I haven't seen a single tweet. I haven't seen a single video. I haven't seen like, I'm still using my thing and I love it because of XYZ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some like really annoying, like obviously like content creator videos of them sitting sideline with the mask or like doing all that kind of stuff. And you're right, it has disappeared. Maybe it's in the tunnel. Yeah. Maybe now it's just in the tunnel.
Can I know how many people bought one? Can I know how many people use it? Or is that sort of like an Apple top secret thing that they don't disclose?
Don't know. Probably top secret. Did you ever do the sit sideline on Oculus for an NBA game?
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
It was kind of cool, but it wasn't like a literal courtside camera moving. It was like kind of like a big flat screen TV view of the game. Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of like in like the 20th row in like this kind of like pen where like like avatars are walking around.
Yes, yes, yes. So it was a cool start.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily like call it the end experience. But like if we can get a guy who's like on the court side like this, like,
yeah,
as he's looking, I can see. And like that could be a cool way to watch a game.
That's what we want. Do we owe the Buckets listeners an apology? We obviously do for a thousand different reasons, but
yeah,
for promoting Top Shot as hard as we did a few years ago.
Listen, it was of the moment.
Yes.
We didn't offer financial advice, but we had to like let the people know what was going on in the
ether. Yes.
We couldn't ignore it. It was too big of a deal.
We've had two episodes on this show that kind of like went a little like bigger than we were expecting. One was Best Player at Every Height. Do you remember that? That was like season, that was like episode 10.
Yeah.
And it was like front page of Reddit or something like that. And then some reason it got taken down. Do you remember why?
I think it was because I posted it and they're like, you can't do self-promotion or something.
Okay.
Like that.
Got it. Bummer. Because we were really flying high there. And then like we learned about Top Shot. And 2 days later, we were like, let's do a Buckets. And we talked all about Top Shot. And a lot of people learned about Top Shot because of our stupid podcast. And again, we're sorry.
Sorry. I mean, listen, do your own financial research. You can't legally offer financial advice. But at the same time, we can't ignore it. It was in the zeitgeist. It was everywhere. I still don't fully understand why it went away. Like, it was such a hot thing. And then the NBA got on board. And then players were in on it. And then everybody was out.
Yes. I mean, it's so much money. It's
a lot of money.
It got so hot. But we were waiting in digital lines for like 3 hours to open up a pack just to get like a Dame Common card.
It was a great social thing during the pandemic, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like while everyone was stuck inside, I'm like, yes, let me see if I can like win this little basketball themed lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Try to like buy and sell digital playing cards in this ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to pass the time.
Yeah.
Now we can go out, watch real basketball, play actual sports.
Mm-hmm.
The NFT-ication of basketball trading cards waned as everything else went down.
I'll never forget when I told you about Top Shot. It was via text, and I think you just wrote back, oh no.
I was like,
you just saw your money getting vacuumed out of your account.
Plus basketball. Like, I'm all the way in, baby.
It was just a quiet, like, actual, true, from the heart, oh, no. Like, this is going to kill me. This is going to kill me.
Fortunately, I didn't lose my house.
Yeah.
But I lost two apartments. It was like Monopoly.
It's so funny that I'm apologizing for us talking about Top Shot, and you're like, do your own research, people. I will not apologize. Yeah. Like, meet the co-hosts about
it. Honestly, they owe us an apology.
This is exactly how this would end up. Should I go through some of the tweets that we received real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Before every one of these buckets, I will pose that we are doing a show and say what's on your mind. Exactly. Okay. Let's just see what came up.
Okay.
Two words, Naz Reid, thoughts?
He's very good. He's a great shooter. The Wolves don't deserve him. They already have two great big men. Why are they stashing this guy on the bench? He should be starting for the Detroit Pistons, averaging 20.
He should be starting for the Detroit Pistons is such a cruel thing to say.
He should be getting buckets and getting paid.
Luka is going to win the scoring title. Dallas's starting lineup has barely played together. If they're in the playoffs, they're beating the Thunder or Wolves in a 7-game series. Thoughts?
I agree with the first two sentences. He is leading the league in scoring.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they have enough to beat the Wolves or the Thunder in a 7-game series?
No.
Period.
I don't believe in Dallas, no. I think Luka is so great, and he can take over a game.
Mm-hmm.
But they've sacrificed so much defensively that I don't think they have the defense or the vibes to win a round in the playoffs.
Pretty vibeless squad. Like, when one of your players goes 29 for 29 from the floor, you'd think that, like, people would start to be hyping this guy up. No one's talking about Daniel Gafford.
Yeah. Well, that streak is over, so now we really don't have to talk about it.
Kai Jones' 10-day contract with the Sixers and how it will affect LeBron's legacy.
I think it pushes him into the GOAT stratosphere.
Okay.
I think the Kai Jones contract puts him into the rarefied air above MJ. I've not seen Kai Jones play basketball, but I've seen a few Instagram lives, and he didn't seem like he was doing great.
Is he the guy who was cut from Charlotte for having all of those like mental breakdowns, or am I thinking of someone else?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's a man you want to sign. That's a man you want to sign late in the season.
And you know what? Philly's a great place to sort of stash a guy, let him sort of work out his difficulties, and then the fans will just support him back.
Yeah. As we've discussed. Did you know about this? This kind of came up in a couple different people's tweets. The league blatantly reducing foul calls after the midseason.
Yeah, they're saying that scoring is down since the All-Star break.
Okay.
And I guess like Tom Haberstroh tweeted like, yes, if you track the foul data, they're actually calling less fouls. So they're sending people to the line less. You know, like the whole uproar of like a guy would just drive into his defender and they would call a foul on the defender.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're starting to swallow their whistle on that kind of stuff.
And that comes from the league office.
I guess so, yeah. They're like, usually they make those adjustments
right.
in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like they made it during the All-Star break. They're like, we can't just keep bailing out these James Harden's.
Put your shoulder down.
Luka, yeah.
Right.
Like, you have to like give the defender some opportunity to defend.
Yeah. The NBA is pretty good at course correcting their mistakes.
Yeah, they're not as crazy as like the NFL. I know the NFL is just like, all right, extra points are from 37 now. And it's like, all right, wow, that's a really big rule change.
Yeah, they're like, no kickoffs. It's like, where? But Devin Hester just went into the Hall of Fame. Like,
you're eliminating an entire position. Okay.
Yeah.
But the NBA does like little like rule interpretation changes
mm-hmm.
that seem to be helping.
The biggest one I thought was, and we've talked about this in the podcast before, though, that when you run, stop, and a guy just blasts into your back. And it's like, that's on you, dribbler. That's on you, dribble guy.
Or like Trae Young, he would like stop and jump backwards into the defender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to stand anywhere near this guy. He can shoot. And they're already really good at shooting.
Yeah. Let's find one more. Can we discuss how Tatum is better than Paul Pierce, but the moment it gets under 2 minutes in the fourth quarter, I'd rather have Pierce 10 times out of 10. Do you agree?
Tatum does have this weird stigma about him that he's like not a killer closer, even though he has had killer closing moments in the playoffs last year. Like, he had 50 points in a game 7.
Right.
But I guess the Celtics fans who like watch over the stuff with a fine tooth comb, it's like, with the ball in his hands, I don't feel like I do when Jokic has the ball. Like, he'll make the perfect play.
Mm.
It's like he'll sometimes make shots, but he won't necessarily do the ideal thing 10 times out of 10. And I guess Pierce was better than that. I don't know. I don't remember watching Paul Pierce that closely either.
I'm glad that you said I don't remember watching Paul Pierce, because that man has like disappeared from my mind. Like, I don't remember his, like, that wheelchair moment just vacuumed out all of his like successful like game winning shots or whatever. Like, when he pooped his pants on the court.
Yes.
Like, that's the only thing I remember from that man's career. Like, I don't remember
his
clutch.
During the finals. Yeah.
Poop your pants in the finals is like a nightmare. That's a literal nightmare.
Yeah.
That's like showing up to school naked. Like, you can't poop your pants in the finals.
He was very good at like mid-range jumpers, which doesn't really exist anymore. So
yeah.
That helped him close games. Like, Tatum seems to have sidestep threes and drive to the basket.
Mm.
Very little in between.
Do you like that Jaylen Brown now, when he does cool things with his left hand, he looks at his left hand, seemingly that's acknowledging fun. The fans saying he can't go left?
That's fun, yeah. As a fellow Cal Golden Bear alum, I have a soft spot in my heart for Jaylen Brown.
Wow. So Tatum is a Lakers fan, so you don't mind him.
Yeah.
Brown went to your alma mater, so you don't mind him. You've acknowledged that Drew Holiday is a great piece and that the Bucks shouldn't have traded him. Are we saying that you kind of don't hate the Celtics team?
I don't hate the players. I hate the fans.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yes, exactly. Like, I mean, you're a Mets fan. You get it. Like, you don't necessarily dislike, I don't know, who's their biggest rival. The Braves.
The Phillies.
The Phillies. Yeah, these guys.
No,
I mean, Bryce Harper's
kind of
annoying.
No,
yeah.
I hate the Phillies.
I more hated like the when the Celtics and Lakers were both good at the same time.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah.
These current Celtics haven't won a championship, so I'm not that hating on them yet. But at the same time, I don't want to see their fans happy.
No.
I don't want to see Bill Simmons have a celebratory podcast and rub in their faces that they have more championships than the Lakers.
We hate their podcasters more than we hate their players.
Podcasters, fans,
players. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. The big three.
It's so funny that the players are fine. It's just everyone who roots for them that is just despicable.
That's right.
Last question, and then we can get out of
okay.
here. Bronny James. What do you think happens? What should happen and what does happen with Bronny James?
I think he's got potential, but he's not there yet.
No.
So he should develop his game in the G League.
But leave college. Like, you don't think he needs to go to USC for another year?
Yeah, I don't think he needs to go to school, per se. He needs to, like, get reps. Because he definitely has the athleticism and the basketball IQ and the motor.
Does he? Like, does he, though? Like, definitely? Definitely?
I've seen prototypes of his player style, like, on Sacramento. And it's like, this guy's just, like, gives it his all. And he's super athletic and fast and can stay in front of people. And then occasionally be able to shoot. But if he, like, get better at shooting and still maintain that athleticism, I think there's still a place for him in the NBA, but he's not there yet.
If his name was Eric Williams, would we be having this conversation right now?
No, of course not.
Okay, got it.
Wait, is he still LeBron's son?
That's a good question.
Eric Williams, James.
Like, there's a lot of Eric Williams who have a high motor and a high IQ. Right. That's usually like code for, but he doesn't have the skills.
That's correct. But he's also like has the DNA and the coaching that is top rate. So it's like Eric Williams, who's from Minneapolis, might not have access to the best coaches in the world.
Right.
But LeBron James Jr. sure does.
You just wish he averaged like 11 points a season.
Yep.
You know, finishing your career potentially at USC with a 3-1-1 stat line. It's like
not ideal.
Not ideal.
Not ideal.
Losing to Arizona, but okay.
But I don't think it's a forever black mark. I think it's like a work in progress situation.
And is it inevitable that it's the Lakers or bust?
It seems like it's leading that way. Like, I don't know what other team would want to like spend so much time developing his game.
The Cavs?
And like have him move to, like maybe like Cleveland takes him in and like LeBron can still keep tabs on him and like trust the ecosystem and the coaching, the staff there. I don't know. LeBron like wants to be, you know, overseeing it
totally.
To some extent.
Oh, totally.
Like, in charge of like practice and go to his G League games. It just feels very South Bay Lakers-ish to me.
I wonder if this is how the Knicks finally get LeBron James. Not as the player, but as the dad. Like, it took forever, and he's just a dad. He's not even on payroll.
Yeah, we got LeBron James.
Junior.
Yeah. Do you like Randall?
Like Randall, yes.
Okay.
And I actually just saw a clip of Randall rookie year on the Lakers when Kevin Garnett and him were going toe-to-toe, and he looked like a bully. Like, he, like Randall. Like, Garnett tried to check him, and this was still when he was playing with Kobe, and, like, Randall was not having it, and I was like, that's my guy. I, like, loved it. I was, like, attracted to him.
he was also very raw.
Yeah.
Just, like, put your head down and get to the rim. He didn't have any of the three-point game at all.
Yeah, and Garnett is, like, the one guy you don't, like, step to, and he was, like, putting his forehead in Garnett's chin. It was like, yes. Yeah. So, I'd like him back. I want to see this. I want to see the squad. I want to see our team. You know.
Let's see if they can get healthy in the next. The playoffs start, I think, in a month.
Yeah, we're like 16, 17 games out. It's bananas.
All right. Good talk. Good chat. Good catch up.
Yeah, man.
Thanks to the Twitter Audi out there for convincing us to record again.
Yes, please keep doing that. That's the best way of us doing this.
/ the only way of us doing this.
Correct.
And I guess we should record another one as the playoffs are starting or something.
Yeah, pre-playoffs. Maybe make some predictions.
Sweet. We will be back soon enough. And goodbye for now, everybody.
Goodbye for now.
That was a HeadGum Original.